So on October 25th, the Washington Post announced that they are not going to be endorsing a candidate in U.S. elections. First time in decades this has ever happened. Of course, the major culprit behind this decision would be Jeff Bezos.
The billionaire Amazon CEO wants to put a trillion humans into outer space. It's a lot.
Jeff Bezos goes on public forums and talks about his vision for humanity in the future, where he wants us to live in fucking space capsules.
We will take materials from the moon and from near-Earth objects and from the asteroid belt and so on, and we'll build giant O'Neill-style colonies.
And it's sexy to build these rockets. Sexy to terraform Mars instead of fixing the fucked up shit we're doing on this planet.
But I think the fact that billionaires exist is just a symptom of this kind of paradigm of endless growth where you constantly have to be growing your assets. If you break down the total net worth of Jeff Bezos, the average American wouldn't ever be able to hit that kind of level of wealth if they started working in like prehistoric times or something, you know, making like average wages or something like that. So he already doesn't need all of this money, but I think I don't know if it's ambition or just straight up mental illness, but it's starting to leave the bounds of Earth and it's no longer good enough to have the most money in human history or the biggest yacht that you have to fucking disassemble the port of Rotterdam to get it out of the harbor. You are now getting to the point where they have to start looking past the horizons.
Hold on. I want to double click on the, is it mental illness or just ambition? I mean, how do you classify what is a mental illness, right? I mean, these people, Bezos, Musk, they are on an extreme end of the bell curve of like personality traits, right? And I think they are arguably sociopathic and they have an absolutely insatiable thirst for status and power. And now they're kind of in a dick measuring contest between each other. Right. I mean, I think it's like, you know, it's like the Messi versus Ronaldo. They push each other to be more.
Also like, when did this rivalry come into effect? Right. I don't ever remember there being any like contrast drawn between Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, but it's almost like there's like an artificially constructed feud now, kind of like a hip hop beef where, you know, maybe record companies push two artists to like compete with one another to drive more sales. Same thing now. We're like, maybe like 2-3 years ago, we started seeing these headlines around like the competing visions for space between Blue Origin and SpaceX.
And I think that's actually behind this whole Washington Post ordeal is now that Trump has the better odds of winning. Oh, nice. I think that's
not nice.
Kind of the trend. But
yeah.
Yeah. You see all these billionaires trying to get into the ear of Trump. And obviously Musk has had Trump's ear for quite a while now.
Oh, yeah. He's like totally
Bezos. Yeah. Bezos is probably panicking because he wants those NASA contracts. He wants Blue Origin to not fall too far behind SpaceX, which obviously has been doing quite well recently. So I think that's the motive, despite the fact that, of course, Bezos denies that it has anything to do with this kind of things. But obviously, the timing of this kind of proves otherwise, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, it is oddly sus. And like, he's not overtly taking a pro-Trump position, right? He's just not allowing his paper of record to take any position. But I do...
Being neutral is taking a position, especially if so obviously the beef that these Washington Post writers have with Trump is that he's an existential risk to democracy. So
right.
if you think it's an existential risk, then by not endorsing Kamala, you are in effect not taking a neutral position.
Right. And I think to your point, this was more of a signal to the Trump administration, because I don't think the lack of a Washington Post endorsement is going to change the way that a Washington Post subscriber would have voted anyways, right? WAPO kind of leans a little bit more towards the lib camp of American politics. Mm-hmm. I think by not allowing the paper to endorse Kamala, that was a very clear signal to the Trump administration that, hey, in the event you win, I'm ready to play ball and, you know, suck on those space contract titties. You know, it's
okay. That's one way to put it. Although very tempting, we rejected Amazon's offer to sponsor this podcast. In exchange, though, we ask something of you, the audience.
Be sure to like this video, subscribe to our channel, and of course, leave us a comment to let us know how we're doing.
You know, I think what's also interesting here is a lot of the people that say support, you know, Elon Musk or celebrate these billionaires like Bezos, they are very like pro free markets and capitalism. But like the irony here is they're also against concentrated power, like centralized authority. Yet it is an inherent feature of capitalism to produce these hyper concentrations in power.
Well, I mean, and let's also not forget the irony of the fact that, yeah, you support like free market and all that kind of shit, but these companies like thrive off of government contracts. Like this is still public yeah. money being funneled into these organizations. So yes, like, okay, like brilliant free market guy, sure. But if the government stopped feeding in these corporations into these businesses, they would implode on themselves.
Yeah. And, you know, furthermore, they continue to bend rules in their favor, right? Right. Tax policy, regulations for their specific industries. Right. Like it's just a total onslaught against the system, which, you know, presumably had some checks, but now has been totally just
very slowly
captured, right?
Away. Yeah, that's right. I mean, to say nothing for like the complete destruction of like labor rights under Bezos.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, I would love to see people that are very pro free market and capitalism explain this part about it, right? Because you need a strong government, right? I mean, it's kind of a paradox, right? Because in a sense, you need a strong central government to stop the centralization or the, you know, concentration of power in these various pockets, you know, corporate.
And I think like the writing's on the wall, right? I don't understand how you can blindly support the right for these sorts of individuals to accumulate this amount of wealth if they're actively telling you what they're going to do in the future. It's kind of like picking up a copy of Mein Kampf and being like, oh yeah, this Hitler guy, like, yeah, he might have a good vision for the future. Like, no, like Jeff Bezos goes on public forums and talks about his vision for humanity in the future, where he wants us to live in fucking space capsules. Yeah, they're going to be trees. It's going to be nice, but
space capsules.
He wants us to live on space stations and yeah. we'll be graciously granted access to visit Earth like a national park, right? Yeah. I mean, how is that not taking autonomy away from humanity? That our, you know, our planet where our civilization is grounded will become a sideshow in the grandiose ambitions and visions that these people have. And you're still going to support, you're still going to say like, oh yeah, this guy's like pro freedom and liberty, you know, bullshit.
I think visiting Earth, like it's Yellowstone National Park, that commodification of the planet is very disgusting. But also like, could you imagine like who's going to have that privilege of living on Earth? It's going to be all of like Bezos' children, like great, 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 great no, grandchildren.
I disagree. I think they're just going to absolutely torch the planet. Like, I mean, he's.
Well, yeah, yes, torch the planet. Actually, yeah. And it goes into the priority issue of billionaires, right? It's they're doing the things that give them the most status, right? It's sexy to build these rockets.
Right. It's probably like it's, some sort of Freudian concept.
Yeah. Well, it's sexy to terraform Mars instead of fixing the fucked up shit we're doing on this planet. It's sexy to build these space colonies and so on. But yeah, I mean, their actions are specifically driving a lot of the ecological damage to the Earth, right?
That's right.
And it's just, it's really their priorities are just completely, completely upside down. Now, I want to be fair to Bezos because he has this thing called the Bezos Earth Fund.
Oh God.
And he's donated $2 billion. They pledge ultimately
like $2 billion. Wow.
Ultimately pledge like 10 billion, but they've so far, you know, committed $2 billion and it's a, you know, a fraction of what he's put into Blue Origin. But you're like, okay, this is a great thing. Wildlife conservation, you know, climate change, like this is great. But then as you dig into this Bezos Earth Fund, you find that actually it's a way for him to exert influence over some of these institutions that are kind of monitoring climate change and, you know, maybe sway regulations in their favor. And so let me just read a little quote that I found from an article reviewing the Earth Fund. So one climate policy expert speaking on the condition of anonymity says, in the few years since it started distributing enormous amounts of money for climate change and conservation, the Bezos Earth Fund has established influence over many major initiatives and their board members. At this point, Bezos Earth Fund's enormous presence in the climate and conservation space starts to look less philanthropical and more like an attempt to take over the corporate governance system for its own interests and agenda. And they've been basically promoting these carbon offset credits, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. Seems like a greenwashing effort, more or less. So, like, that's the Earth Fund.
Well, and then let's break it down, right? Like, you support candidates that are actively slashing regulations to enable your big-ass company and corporation to do better business, to make more money, which is contributing to the destruction of the planet. You don't pay your fucking share in taxes. And then you create, like, a foundation that you can kind of symbolically toss money at. I mean, like, what? A pledge of $10 billion, like within the scope of the wealth he's accumulated. I mean, that's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. It's an illusion. It's a smoke show.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, I wish it weren't. But the reality is, although, look, if you throw $10 billion, you know, into a problem, are there going to be maybe some tangential benefits? Like, is there potentially like some grant that this organization dished out that helped save some, you know, endangered animal? Like, okay, maybe. But in the grand scheme of things, it is a further exertion of control by Bezos, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's pretty depressing because it's further compounded by the fact that there was a recent study that came out that said billionaires spew more CO2 pollution in 90 minutes than the average person in an entire lifetime. So when you consider what's going on with climate change, we're completely blowing past like that 1.5 degrees Celsius limit that was in the Paris Agreement, completely irrelevant. Like no one's doing anything.
Right.
We're using way more fossil fuels. All the renewables are basically a surplus for our energy requirements, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of they're just adding to it. They're not actually addressing what we need to deplete CO2 emissions. And the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has said by 2030, we basically need to cut emissions by half. Right. So that's in 5 years. Emissions are just going up. Like the rate of emissions going up is increasing or something. There's like no fucking chance. And again, so to circle back to that original point, Bezos, Musk, very concerned about space exploration and rockets. But what about the planet itself? Like what are they doing to stop this? To help us figure out a way to stop this. It's very difficult, of course, because as we've talked about with the meta crisis stuff, the entire global economy is based on fossil fuels, right? It's based on resource extraction, ecological destruction. These are ultimately, again, as we've discussed, coordination problems, right? At the heart of these, of the meta crisis is a coordination problem. Imagine if they invested all these billions of dollars into figuring out how the fuck can we actually coordinate on these issues? This is the greatest problem that humanity is facing. How do you coordinate? You want to fucking go to space, set up colonies with a trillion people? Like, dude, like we can't even figure out Israel, Palestine. Like, what are you fucking talking about? This is ridiculous. And so imagine if all these billionaires put their efforts into figuring out the actual problems, which are coordination problems.
But it has to kind of presuppose the possibility that they don't give a shit. they don't actually want to resolve the problems that they're actively contributing to and causing, right? I mean, it's makes me think a lot about Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, Mackenzie Bezos. She's kind of in a very unique position where, because of the work she did to set up Amazon early on, she's obviously privy to a huge portion of the fortune. And she's just trying to give the money away. And I get the sense that maybe she harbors a lot of guilt, but it's quite literally a golden cage because she cannot give away the money fast enough. The fortune is growing too quickly. She's dropping billions and billions of dollars in donations to charities and all these nonprofits and funds, and the money keeps coming back and she can't do anything with it. And I think that's like a perfect encapsulation of this like new era of blood money to a certain extent, where you've sacrificed and you're continuing to sacrifice so many elements of our planet and our ecology to it. And you've generated this mass pool of self-sustaining wealth that like, yeah, in theory, it could be channeled to something good, but it's not going to be because it's dark money anyways.
And it, you know, that signifies, I think, a problem with our culture, because we celebrate billionaires. We celebrate this level of ambition. We celebrate personality cults. Like we encourage personality cults, right? So Elon Musk, okay. And like, look, someone again can say, oh, well, he, you know, with Tesla and electric vehicles, he's actually doing a great thing. And I think there, without getting too deep into the electric vehicle thing, like there is some, okay, good that was done in that arena, but then also he simultaneously supports a candidate that denies climate change.
Right.
So let's, you know, like he's doing things in his self-interest. And I think as a culture, we have to figure out how to value different qualities in individuals, right? Like currently, sociopathy is, even though people wouldn't outright admit it or say it, that's what it seems to be valued, right? Like me at the cost of everything else is fine. It's all about fucking me. How much money can I make? How much power can I have? And you're a fucking beta if you don't want that. So it's just like, I mean, it's so obviously self-destructive. And yeah, I mean, we need a shift in culture. That's why we've talked about education being a huge thing. Well, education, not just, yeah.
Right. But I mean, the more our school systems, I guess public school systems get resources sucked out of them, the more I think that vacuum is filled by shit kids consume online, where I think this sort of like glorification of the billionaire archetype is really inject into younger generation. God, I sound like a fucking like old ass, like, oh, the younger generation. No. But I think there's, I don't have data on it, but my feeling is that there's probably a correlation in a dip in school funding with critical thinking abilities, right? And if you're not thinking critically, you're going to be sucking in all this stuff online and marching lockstep into whatever doomsday that individuals like Bezos and Musk are sort of promoting as like, yeah, the next cool, like chungus thing to do. And of course you're going to glorify these individuals because, you know, it's almost like in many ways, the Andrew Tate effect that we talked about like a long time ago, where it's like the cars, the space exploration, the, you know, the platforms you have going on Joe Rogan, and all of a sudden, yeah, this guy is like, he's got status, he's got money, he's got power. So yeah, of course we should glorify and enable these sorts of individuals.
And yeah, I think it's people projecting the possibility that they one day can become like these individuals.
America,
right?
Is the land of temporarily impoverished millionaires.
Yeah, it's right. It's hope. Yeah, it's hopium. It's pure hopium. You know, yeah.
Just so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's interesting. I think in many ways we're being offered like two competing visions for how humanity is going to take to the stars. Which again is so fucking sad that. Even 100 years ago, like maybe a little bit over 100 years ago at the start of the space race during the Cold War, there's so much like optimism and idealism that like, yes, humanity is taken to the stars. Humanity is like going to the moon. We circled the earth, like had all these monumental achievements that were kind of attributed to the great like triumphs of human thought. And now we've been relegated to like a, just a fucking, can I swear? Am I allowed to swear on this?
Hell yeah.
Like just a cunt, just a little cunty billionaire. Like, oh yeah, we're going to go and, well, you know, build terraform planets.
I mean, you know, like, don't get us wrong. I think both you and I would agree, like space is cool and technology is, you know, can be immensely inspiring and like all the stuff, like there is value. There's actually a huge ROI on like what NASA's done with in terms of the technologies they've built. Well, I mean, I'm using that not necessarily in terms of monetary, but yeah, there's a monetary, but also in terms of inspiration and like just, you know, just humanity itself and like what we were able to achieve. Like it's there is value in that. I don't want to diminish that. And there's some cool shit about it. But ultimately, you know, when we went to the moon, I don't think we realized just exactly like how much damage we were doing to the planet. Well, some people did, but like it wasn't the full scale of things wasn't apparent. At this point in time, there is a legitimate planetary emergency going on, right? And not just with climate change, not just with biodiversity loss, not just with, you know, ecological destruction and so on, but also with these new, more dangerous technologies, new potential risk for nuclear war, coordination problems, you know, geopolitics, the idea of like our economy is based on infinite growth, like absurd shit that's going to come crashing down. And so we have to be focusing on these things, but we are distracted by the dick measuring contest of billionaires.
100 years ago, humanity was focused on exploring space. It was very much tied to space exploration. I think what's being pitched to us now is humanity consuming space. We're entering into the era of space consumerism, where it's going to be the same shitty ass subscription models, the same shitty ass fucking paying $5 to use your camera, copy and paste it into space exploration. I guarantee it. It's going to be like all the idealism and underpinning notions of human progress and advancement as a civilization is going to be replaced by shitty ass, like the Amazonification of science and kind of exploratory ambitions that we have as a species. And that is completely the consequence of decades of deregulation and a capture of human thought and culture by these just consumerist impulses. It's going to be like, you know, fucking eating your high fructose corn syrup glop.
No. It's going to be Bezos' wet dream is doing a one click purchase of like a planet.
Yeah.
In the future, right? Yeah. Like you get to own your fucking planet. Right. That's the end game, I guess. But yeah, very depressing thoughts. But we're gonna keep talking about this shit on the podcast. Make sure to hit the subscribe button if you enjoyed this. More content like this is on the way. So any final
Musk or Bezos fanboys are listening, please leave us a comment and tell us exactly why you support this vision for the future of humanity, because I don't see it. I just don't see it.